Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Yudches in Avodah Zarah. It's a combination of yesterday's daf and today's daf. Both very sad, very tragic. It helps us get ready for Yom Kippur. I say that because today we're going to be learning about Hananya ben Trajan, Asara Haruge Malchus. Things that really put us in the mood, in the correct mood, in the proper mood for Yom HaKippurim. The death of tzaddikim serves as a kapara. Yom Kippur serves as a kapara, and it's all there. It's very sad. I don't disagree with you. It's very sad, but it's the purpose of the death of tzaddikim is to provide some sort of kapara. Okay, we are a little bit behind. We're on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and the Gemara is first going to give us a little bit of background. Of Rav Hananya ben Trajan. So, okay, we're going to start a little bit above. We're going to start Tanur Rabbanan. It's about 10 lines from the top of the page. I think we did some of this yesterday. Okay, but it definitely is the beginning of the discussion. We're on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We're about 10 lines from the top. Tanur Rabbanan kishenitfesu Rabbi Elazar ben Prato, Rabbi Hananya ben Trajan. I'm Rabbi Elazar ben Prato. Rabbi Hananya ben Trajan. Ashrecha she. Nitfasta al davar echad, or lish nitfasta al chamisha dvar. Okay, both were trumped up charges from the Romans. Well, I don't want to say trumped up. In other words, the charges probably were correct, but both were charged by the Romans. And Rav Elazar ben Prato says, you know, it's terrible because I'm facing 5 counts, and you're only facing 1 count, and it looks like I'm in bad shape. So I have attorneys here in this room. They can tell you it's not the number of counts that matter. It's what the charge actually is. Amalei Rabbi Hananya Ashrecha shenitfasta chamish advam ve'ata nitzol. Arli shenitfasta al davar echa ve'eni nitzol. Rabbi Hananya ben Trajan knows that even though he's only facing 1 count from the Romans, he knows that they're going to get him. And he says to Rabbi Elazar ben Prato, look, you got 5 counts, but I have a good feeling you're going to get out of all of them. And the reason why I know that you're going to get out of your 5 counts and I'm not going to get out of my 1 count is because me, Rav Hananya ben Trajan says, I only involve myself in Torah, while you, meanwhile, you involved yourself in Torah and Gimel Chasadim. Uchid Ravuna, Dam Ravuna, Kol Osik, Betor Bavad, Dama Kimishin Lo Olakash, Nema V'yamim Rabim L'Yisrael, Lo Lo Olokei Emes. Gemara makes a very strong statement. Gemara says that if you only engage in Torah, you don't engage in Chesed, it's as if you don't have a God. It's like you don't have a God. Right? Very strong statement made by the Gemara. Gemara speaks in the same type of language about, let's say, somebody who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael. Right? Someone who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, Gemara Ksuba says, it's like you don't have a God. Okay, it's a strong sentiment. The Gemara is certainly trying to convey something. The Gemara says now, is that true that Rav Hananya ben Trajan did not do any chesed? The Gemara says it's not true. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, in fact, he's the measuring stick in terms of honesty and integrity. If you're going to appoint somebody as a God by Tzedaka, you need somebody with the honesty and integrity like Rabbi Hananya ben Trajan. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, yeah, he had integrity, but that was only in the theoretical world. He never practically did it himself. As a measuring bar, he could certainly measure integrity using Rav Hananya ben Trajan, but he himself never did it. The Hatanya, the Gemara points out that we have a Braisa. Amalo Moshe Purim Nischafuli b'Moshel Tzedaka v'chilatim la'aniyim. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa in which he says that I once had mixed up monies. I had money of the poor get mixed up with my Purim money, and I dispersed it. I distributed it amongst the poor. I'll get back to that later on this morning. We'll talk more about what he mixed up and what happened. And okay, I'll get back to that. In the meantime, me'avid avid k'dabai le'lo avid. Good. The Gemara says, yeah, what he did a little bit of chesed, but not the amount that he should have done. Okay. Again, the Gemara has every right to say those things. He legitimately feels, and the Gemara feels, that Rav Hananya ben Trajan did not do the chesed as he should have done. Okay. So the first thing we're going to do now is we're going to go back to Rav Elazar ben Prato, and we're going to see the charges that were levied against him, and how in fact he did get out of all five counts. Okay. Asula revelazim and prata amru maitama tanisu maitana ganafta. So the first two charges came at him together. Now, I don't know how exactly their legal system works, but apparently these two, there are five altogether. The first two charges went hand in hand. Okay? So it was like a joint, double charge, co-charges. I don't know what words to say, but anyway. So, but the accusation went like this. You taught and you stole. So Amar Lahu, so Rav Elazar ben Prata says in his defense, those are mutually exclusive. It can't be both. It could be one, could be the other, it can't be both. Amar Lahu Yisaifa lo Safra v'Yisafra lo Saifa. Famous line of the Gemara. Alright, if I'm a Saif from the word sword, right? If I'm a swordsman, I can't be a teacher. And if I'm a teacher, I can't be a swordsman. They just, those two midos don't go hand in hand, and it just doesn't work. There's no such hybrid. And so therefore, umidaha leisa hanami leisa. And look, you can't put those two against me, because those two can never coexist, and because I don't have one, I don't have the other. Now this is what I meant a couple moments ago when I said these charges came together, because you can easily segregate and separate these two charges and just simply say one or the other, but apparently these two first charges came as a tandem. And he said, look, it can't be. Can't possibly be, because they're mutually exclusive. Well, my time at Karalacha Rabbi, here's the third charge. You know, I hear people calling you Rabbi. Now, what's this charge? So this charge was smicha, right? We've seen this a couple of times already, that the Romans did not want smicha to continue. And so they placed a ban, capital punishment, for anyone who gave or received smicha. Right? We read a tragic story just a couple days ago about... who was it? One of the Tanaim gave smicha. And then he was killed, right? And they made his body like a sieve, like a sift. Okay. 300 poles. He told the students to flee. I just forget his name. Okay. Alright. Okay. My time of Karlach Rebbe. So yeah, I hear people calling you Rebbe. That means you got smicha. So Rabban Shal Tarsianani. Huh, Rebbe? No. Rebbe. Yeah, you know they call me Rebbe. I'm a weaver. I'm a master weaver. Isolate Trey Kibure. So they said, okay, master weaver, yeah? Okay, let's see what you can do. Okay, master weaver. They brought him two spools of whatever it is, yarn, thread. Amrle, Haida Shasya, Haida Arava. Okay? You know Shasi Ve'erev, right? Warp and woof. That's all I know, by the way. I don't even know anything more than that. I just know how to say warp and woof. I don't even know which one's which. But Erev is the horizontal, Shesi is the vertical, and they asked him, you know, can you identify which one's which? Okay, now he didn't know. He wasn't a weaver. So Israchesh Lenisa, a miracle takes place. Asya Ziburta Osiva Al Deshesya, the Asi Zibura Vyasiv Al Da Arva. So along comes the female bee, and she sits on the Shesi, and along comes the male bee, and he sits on the Erev. Now Tosos is bothered. Yeah, exactly. So Tosos is bothered the identification of gender in bees. Okay, and I'm not a bees guy, but I don't think it's possible. And Tosos raises this issue, and Tosos says maybe the Gemara over here doesn't mean actually bee. Different species, says Tosfos. Either way, we certainly get the idea. He got divine assistance in order to identify which one was the Shesi and which one was the Erev. Because the Shesi accepts the Erev. Again, I'm not a weaver, so I don't even visualize this, but okay, let's just leave it at that. And you understand the imagery in the man and the woman. So Amalu Hai Deshasi of Haidarava. So now that he sees the female bee and the male bee landing on the Shesi and the Erev, he says, oh good, that's Shesi and that's Erev. So Amalu. Okay, so he got out of the third charge. Fourth charge. Well, my time alawasi la be'avidan. You know, I never see you at be'avidan. Be'avidan was like their Mecca, right? They had a little get together in be'avidan. They would do a little idolatry over there, a little drinking over there. Okay, it sounded like a good time, although it was idolatry, so absolutely prohibited.
How come we didn't see you there? You know, I'm old, says Rav Elazar ben Prata, and I'm just afraid I'm going to get trampled. So they say to him, really? And historically, somebody got trampled? Like the Roman said to him, I never heard of anyone ever getting trampled in Be'avidan. So what kind of excuse is that? Okay, and as more divine assistance he got, that particular day the headlines was somebody got trampled in Bay Avidan. Okay, my time akashavakta of the chalacherus, fifth count against Rav Elazar ben Prata. How come you let your servant go free? Now, I don't understand this Rashi. I'll share this Rashi with you. Right? Rashi writes, Abda Chalacheres Vehen Gazu Akach Lefi Shehu Das Yehudis. Rashi writes that they made Gzera, the Romans made Gzera, that you're not allowed to free your slave. And Rashi writes, Shehu Das Yehudis, because that's the Jewish way. I'm so confused. Right? Meaning, if we're talking about an Eved Kenani, so you're not allowed to free your Eved Kenani. So why would the Romans make a gzera not to free when there's a mitzvah not to free your Eved Kenani? And if we're talking about an Eved Ivri, I don't think we are, because Eved Ivri is not really a slave.
But the Torah says no saskir Eved al-Avonon. That's an
Eved. Yeah, but the Torah also says...
runs away.
Correct, but the Torah also says... You're right about that, but the Torah also says Vavado la'olam. He gave him a get shechur, right? But generally speaking, you're not allowed to. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so. I'm confused. I don't understand it. I'm admitting it. But okay. For the time being, just the pshuto shel gemara. So you freed your slave, and that wasn't right. So amalu lo hayu dvar me'olam. So he said, just denial. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? I didn't free my slave. Where'd you get that from? So, kam chan minay la'asu debe. So, one witness was going to stand up against them. Now, in their legal system, and again, I don't know Roman legal system, but apparently one witness is all you needed. So, as Eliyahu ad melekechad mechashuve demachusa. More miracles done on behalf of Rav Elazar ben Prata. Out comes Eliyahu Navi in the form of a Roman dignitary. Amalei mi disrachesh lenisa b'chulu, b'han ami israchesh lenisa. And the Gemara kind of gives us like an explanation of why Eliyahu comes out of nowhere. Eliyahu says, look, up until this point in time, he got divine assistance. I'm going to give him more divine assistance. And that guy, meaning the guy who's ready to testify against Rav Elazar ben Prata, I'm going to show off that he's bad. However, Eliyahu was trying to interfere, run interference, and this guy, this witness, didn't care. I'm going to go ahead with it anyway. Kam lamei malahu, and he gets up and he starts giving his testimony. Havaksiva igarta da havaksiv mechashiva da malchus l'shadur lebei kesar. So what Eliyahu does now is he somehow gets a letter written, and the letter is, you got to go, and he says, you got to deliver this letter to the Bei Kesar, to the house of Caesar. Vishadru al yadei. And apparently this person was a courier, some sort of courier, and they said, okay, you go. Dahu gavra asa Eliyahu patke arba mea parsa azo velo asa. On his way to Bei Kesar, Eliyahu Rashi, the way Rashi describes it, Eliyahu throws the man 400 parsa, and so that he does not return, meaning just lost forever. Okay, and that is the end of Rav Elazar ben Prata. So five counts that we read about him, and he successfully, with divine assistance, gets out of the five counts that were charged against him, and he is not one of the Asara Harugei Malchus. However, we get to Rav Chananya ben Chargion, and of course, tragically, he is one of the Asara Harugei Malchus. Asula Rav Chananya ben Chargion, Amalei Amai Lo Ka'asakta, I'm sorry, Amrulei Amai Ka'asakta Ba'araisa. You taught Torah, you know how to do that. So Amalahu, so he says, Kasher Sivani Hashem Alokai. I do what I'm told, I do what I'm commanded to do. Now it's interesting, and I'll make observations. Rav Elazar ben Prata did whatever he did, whatever he could, to get out of the charges, including, as we just read, denial. right?
It's a one hint.
And if I may say this, lying.
Lying.
Right. Okay. If I may, but Rav Hanani ben Trajon did not do that at all. And perhaps the Gemara earlier gives us some understanding of why that is, because Rav Hanani ben Trajon believes that this was really Ratzon on Hashem that he be put to death on his lack of chesed. Okay, but it, possibly it just. So three convictions. One for him to be burnt b'sreifa, two for his wife to be killed, and three for his daughter to be confined to a prostitution house. So he gets sreifa, and the Gemara gives us an explanation why. In other words, again, the Gemara views the Romans just simply as a conduit. And really, this is Gzeres Hashem, and the Gemara now is going to explain why Sreifa, of all the different ways to be put to death. So he was Hoge Es Hashem. He pronounced God's name. Which name of God did he pronounce? So Rashi and Tosos argue about this. The bottom Rashi on Yizayin Amud Beis says, Lama Nanashkach Lefisha Ayah Hoge Es Hashem Yosef Darshu Ba'ar Be'im V'shtayim Osios V'Oseh Ba'al Mashuhu Chafetz. So Rashi writes that he took the 42 letter name of Hashem. By the way, in Sanhedrin, Rashi always, it's interesting, Rashi always goes to the 42 letter name of Hashem, not the 4 letter name of Hashem. We don't know, Rashi admits, back in Sanhedrin, we don't know the 42 letter name of Hashem. But he goes to the 42 letter name of Hashem, and Rashi writes, V'oseh b'mashu chafetz, and with that name, you can do whatever you want. Okay. Tosos, the top Tosos, on Yud Chesam and Aleph, disagrees with Rashi and says that it's the 4-letter name of Hashem. And then Tosis, interesting Tosis, by the way, not going to go through it now, talks about what, in other words, and I should just make this clear, and Rav Hanani ben Trajon was pronouncing the name as it's written. We're not allowed to do that. The Gemara Sanhedrin says very clearly, in very clear terms, you cannot do that. You can't pronounce the name as it's written. You have to rather say Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And Tosfos goes through an interesting discussion of what if you only write 2 of those 4 letters, is that Shem Hashem? And he talks about what the publishers used to do back in his day. Well, not publishers, but you know, those who wrote up Sidurim and Chumashim, whether they were writing Shem Hashem or not. Take a look at Tosfos, it's you know, in of itself interesting. Back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Just the idea that Rav Hanani ben Trajan was pronouncing the name of God, you're not allowed to do that. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin says you don't get a portion of the world to come. I can't possibly imagine, says the Gemara, that that's the kind of behavior that he exhibited. It just doesn't make any sense. Answers the Gemara, Lehisla Meid Avad. No, he didn't do it to practice. He did it to teach. In other words, certain things you just need to know and pass on as a tradition, but you don't practice it yourself. Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we did not that long ago, where there, same thing with witchcraft and sorcery, right? As a member of Beis Din, you need to know. You can't practice it, but you need to know. Right, so you can judge cases, and that you know, you just need to know. So Rashi says it's the same thing over here. So Hoges Hashem, you need to know. You can't practice. You can't use it for your own purposes, but you need to know. Okay. I'm sorry. Kiditanya with the Brisa told us Lo Silmad La Sos of Atalame La Havino La Haros. Okay, fine. Ela Maitame Yanash. So the Gemara says, so why was he punished? Mishim Hoges Hashem Befarhesia Dahave. He did it publicly. Now Tosfos writes, Rashi did not have this girsa of the Gemara, because Rashi is telling us that he did it to learn and not to practice, and Rashi doesn't seem to be processing that last point the Gemara just made. Well, he did it publicly. Right, so Tosfos writes that Rashi didn't seem to have that gears in the Gemara. Whatever the case is, something to do with him pronouncing Hashem's name. Either according to the Gemara's version, he did it publicly. According to Rashi's version, maybe he played around with it a little bit. Whatever the case is, okay, that's why he got sreifa. Next, al ishto lahariga delo michabe, and his wife His wife didn't give him rebuke, right? Every now and then, your wife sometimes goes over you and tells you, you know, this is not what you're doing, or and you're not doing this right, and you know, and she's being critical, and the Gemara is basically giving her license to do so. Not only license, Gemara is saying she should do that. That's part of her job, is to be critical. And the Gemara says, and that's why his wife, or the wife of Hanan ben Trajon, suffered the fate because she didn't give tochacha. The Gemara says it very strongly that if you have the ability to give tochacha and you don't give tochacha, so you have what to answer for. And now the Gemara gives us an explanation as to why his daughter got the punishment in which she did, which is to be confined to the house of prostitution. The Gemara says one time she was walking with the Romans, and they comment on her walking. Right? It's nice. She's got a nice stride. Okay, miyad diktika b'psiosa. So she became self-conscious. She took more care in how she walked. And v'hainu da'ama Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish ma'idichsev avon akvei yisubeni. Avono sha'adam dash ba'akvav. Sins that people step on with their heel ba'olam hazeh mesubim lo liyom adin. Right, they're there for him on the Yom HaDin, on the Day of Judgment. And it's obviously a play on words over here because her sin happens to be exactly with her, Akev, with her heel.
How did he know?
Who know? Part of the Masara.
What if he knew how to say the name, the 42 name, that the letters he could have got out?
Okay. Right, but he realized that was wrong. That was inappropriate. Bishashiyasu shlosh tam sitko aleim asadin. Gemara tells us that when they were all taken out, so all of them recited Siddiq Hadin, Siddiq Hadin. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you are right, and we have nothing more to say. Hu amar. So he quotes each one of them does Siddiq Hadin. It gives like a personal Siddiq Hadin, meaning quotes a separate pasuk. Hatzur tamim pa'alav. Okay, so Rav Chanan ben Trajan quotes this pasuk. Ishto amra el emuna ve'ein avel. Right, second half of that pasuk. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you are faithful. There's nothing wrong with your din. And bito amra gadol ha'etza ve'rav ha'alila. Asher einecha pekuchos al kol darki. And I'm guessing she's quoting that pasuk based on the end of Al Kol Darki, the way I walk. Amar Rabbi Kama Gedolim Tzadikim Halol Shinizdam Nolam Shlosha Mikro Shal Tzidik Adin B'Shal Tzidik Adin. It's special, says the Gemara, that they were able to cite these psukim of Tzidik Adin at the time necessary to say Tzidik Adin. Meaning it's a tremendous amount of pressure. You can only imagine. I can't possibly imagine how emotional and how strenuous that is. And at that time, to think of the psukim of Tzidik Hadin, the Gemara says that's special. Tanu Rabbanan Kishechala Rav Yosef Ben Kisma Halach Rabbi Chanan Mitzrajan Levakro. Gemara gives us almost like a little bit of background over here before we go forward with the death of Rabbi Chanan Ben Trajan. So we're going to almost like cut back to a scene earlier. Rav Yosef Ben Kisma got sick and he was visited by Rabbi Chanan Ben Trajan Levakro. Amar lo Chanan Yachi. So Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma says, you know, the Romans, this is all decreed by God. It's got to be. They destroy the base of Mikdash, they burn the Heichal, they kill the Chasidim, and they're still here. So obviously God orchestrated them to do this, clearly. And you behave in a way which I don't understand. Because you're out there, you're gathering a shear, you're teaching Torah, you have a Sefer Torah in your lap. Now, I don't understand. So he says, don't worry, Hashem should help. Right, and this is like the classic discussion between the rationalist and the one who is not so rational. Amar lo, so he says to him, "Omelech ani omelech advarim shel tam." I'm trying to talk reason with you. I'm trying to be rational with you. And you're giving me some sort of religious answer.
Trying to save him.
Tama ani I wonder if you're not going to be burned together with your Sefer Torah. So he concerns himself with Olam Haba. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma says, why would you worry about that? What episode, what incident happened to you that you're worried about not getting Olam Haba? So here we go. So the Gemara says, this is where he makes an admission, a confession. I mixed up staka. So the staka of Purim and the staka of Aniyim. V'chilaktim la'aniyim, and I dispersed it to the Aniyim. Now the way Rashi explains it, Rashi on the previous Amud gave two pshat, and Rashi over here settles on one pshat. The pshat that Rashi says in our daf over here is that the Purim was not staka. Right? I know you give staka on Purim, but over here that's not he doesn't say staka. In fact, the Gemara says ma'u shoporim. Rashi says that just meant money that he set aside for his seuda. There's a mitzvah to have a meal on Purim. Obviously money was tight, so he set aside some money for the Purim seuda, but that was his own money. And he was also gabed staka, which means that he had money that allocated for that was supposed to be allocated for the poor. What happened one time is that he mixed up the two. His own personal Purim money he dispersed to the Aniyim, and he never reimbursed himself. Okay, now when you think about that, that's not a bad thing, right? But I guess he's bothered by it because it showed a lack of organization and a lack of, you know, he wasn't on top of it. And I guess that's what bothered him. And I gave it to the Aniyim. And Rav Yossi says to him, if that's what's bad that happened to you, I wouldn't mind having your portion in the world to come. Rav Yossi ben Kisma. Rav Yossi ben Kisma dies. Now, it's clear, I never heard of him before this Gemara over here. And I didn't do a search through the Gemara, but he was an Adam Chashev. He was an important person, and he was respected and honored by the Romans. They gave him a big eulogy. Uvechazarasam, and on the return from the eulogy, Matzul Rav Chanan ben Charjon, Shaya Yosheva Osik B'Torah Makel Kiels Barabim V'Sefer Torah Munach Lo B'Cheikal, as exactly forecasted by Rav Yossi ben Kismi. The Romans caught him teaching Torah, Sefer Torah, in his cheik, hevio v'karchu b'sefer Torah v'yikifu b'chavei luzmuros v'yitzisu behem asa'or. So they take the Sefer Torah, they wrap it up around him, together with twigs, and they light a fire and they burn him. V'hevio sfugim shel tsemer v'sharum b'mayim. They take wool, they soak the wool in water v'inuchim alibo, and they place it on his chest, kedesh lo teitz nishmaso mehera, in order so that the death would be torture and long and delayed. Amar la bito abba recha bekach. So the daughter says, this is how I have to see you. Amar la, he says back to her, Omale ani nisratu levadi ayite davakashali. Look, if I was just being burned by myself, that's one thing. But achshav shani nisra for sefer Torah imi, but I know now that I'm being burned with a sefer Torah. Misha mevakish al bonash al sefer Torah, hu yivakish el boni. The one, meaning a Kaddish Baruch Hu, who's gonna be offended by the burning of the Sefer Torah, and look for to save face on the Sefer Torah. I know I'm there, right there with the Sefer Torah. Amlo Talmid of Rebbe Mata Roeh. The students say to him, Rav Chanan ben Charjon, what do you see? Amar lahem, he says to them, Gilyon Nisrafim. Yeah, I see the parchment being burnt, the Osios Parchos, but the letters are flying upwards. So they say to him, Rebbe, why don't you open your mouth, ingest some of the smoke and some of the fire, and die quicker? You don't have to suffer this way. So he says back to them, no, let Hashem take my life. I don't want to take my own life. Now, obviously, there are questions of martyrdom over here in this Gemara, clearly. There are issues of what you can and cannot do.
It's about suicide.
Rabbeinu Tam, and issues of taking your own life. Rabbeinu Tam over here writes second to last Tosfos. Omer Rabbeinu Tam dehechashiram penya avirum ov dekocham la'avera. Kigona yidei yisurim shelo yucha la'amod behem azu mitzuva l'chava ba'atzmo. Rabbeinu Tam says, I know that if you know you can't take the suffering and torture anymore, that you can give up your life. I know that, says Rabbeinu Tam. And I know that based on the Gemara in Gittin brings down Gabi Yaladim, Shenashvu l'kalon she'itilo atzmam liyam. Right, I'm sorry, today's such a depressing day. It's a daf. It's, you know, right. And he quotes the Gemara in Gittin, and the Gemara in Gittin over there has the boys throwing themselves overboard. Right, Nasu Kava Chomer Ba'atzmam, says the Gemara in Gittin over there. They made an argument. If the girls are going to kill themselves, we for sure should kill ourselves. And they did so, knowing that they would not be able to stand the temptation, and they would have to sin. And they wouldn't be able to resist the torture. Rabbeinu Tam said the same thing over here. Rav Chanani ben Trajan was sure that he could withstand the torture, and so therefore he didn't give up his life. But if you're questioning yourself, so then you are allowed to give up your life. And
is it more than withstand the torture, or is it going to torture you, or some other sin in the future? In other words, in his case, there's no future sin coming.
Right. I don't know. That's a great question. Rabbeinu Tam's not clear about that.
But things are really, the kids are jumping overboard. They're about to commit Giloy Arayot. And for that, you're supposed to give your life.
Correct. And I'm not sure. And Stuart's right. I don't know what chait we're talking about over here.
Is this potentially he actually could have lost his amunah? Because I mean, think about it. These
right.
Birds.
I understand that, but Steve, you're probably right. But that's not an action. It's a mindset. But maybe you're right.
Amunah though doesn't really need an action, because what do they say, that if you do all of your mitzvahs your whole life, at the last second you regret? I'm just saying. Like,
okay, I'm conceding you're probably right. But
and the chaik was homosexuality. In other words, the girls went over first.
Right.
So
right.
The young men said they are
right. Now it's a kavachomer.
So they were not.
Right. Right. Okay.
That's the sin.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, every time we have this discussion of martyrdom, I don't know if the Rambam would agree with this, because the Rambam is very strong on this position of you're never allowed to take your own life unless warranted to do so, unless it's the big three or unless it's Farhasya. But otherwise, the Rambam says
they did. You know, suicide.
I understand there, and the Rambam wouldn't agree with that. But that's okay.
Yep.
Amar lo kalstuniri Rebbe. So the Kalpstaniri, there must be some sort of executioner, so who was there and monitoring and you know, that's his job. So he says, look, if I increase the fire and I take off the wall, the soaked wall, and am I going to get a portion? Can I get a portion of the world in Chayom Haba? Amar lo hein. So he says, Rav Chanan ben Trajan says, yeah. Hashbi Ali, so the executioner wasn't convinced. He says, I need you to swear. Nishba lo, so he says, yeah, I swear. Miyad here, bebishal heves, venatal sefugim shal semra mi'ali bo. So the executioner does it, increases the fire, takes the soaked wool off his heart, yasa nishmasa ben mehera. And Rav Chanan ben Trajan dies. The executioner knows, look, what he did for the Roman, from the Roman perspective, was criminal, and he knows he was going to get killed, so he just throws himself right into the fire. Mm-hmm. So Rav Chanan ben Trajan, together with the Kaltstoniri, they're both going to get a portion of the world to come. Third time this Masechta, Bacharebi va'amar, Yeshkona olama b'shar achas, V'yeshkona olama b'kama shanim. Some people it takes a lifetime of work to get Olam Haba, and for some people, it's one moment of action, one moment of life.
What right did the Reb Chanan ben Trajan have to
promise him? I don't have an answer. He's Reb Chanan ben Trajan, which is not an answer. I'm just saying, but yeah, he's there. He's of that. He's in that ability. He's of that caliber. Bruria de Vasai de Rameir Barte de Reb Chanan ben Trajan. So now. We talk a little bit about Bruria today. She is the wife of Rav Meir, right? The Gemara tells us that a number of times. And she is the daughter of Chanan ben Trajan. Okay. Hava amra lo zila be milsa. Diyasva achta be kubashozonos. I can't stand it. It's terrible. that my sister, right, remember, because this is now, she is the wife, I'm sorry, the daughter of Hanan ben Tra'ajon, and we know that she's obviously, she's not the same girl who went into the house of prostitution, so she's another, right, another sister. Right. Now, she didn't get punished, meaning in, from the Roman standpoint, it doesn't, it's kind of funny. One girl gets punished and the other girl doesn't get punished, it, you know. But I guess based on what we learned earlier this morning, in other words, the Romans did the punishment, they exercised the punishment, but it was really because of the behavior of the other daughter that she got, you know, she got confined to the house of prostitution. Apparently Bruria didn't behave that way. Shaka, and so she says, it's crazy that my sister is over there in jail. So Shaka Tarkava di dinar va'azal. So now Reb Meir goes and he's going to try to save his sister-in-law, right? So based on the pushing of his wife, sister obviously to his sister-in-law, so Reb Meir now is going to go on a mission to try and free his sister-in-law from the house of prostitution.
I guess the story would really only work with a sister-in-law because it never worked with a mother-in-law. That would have happened.
Shakal Tarkava di dinare the azal amra e lo is aved by isur mis aved nisa e abdi isur lo is aved le nisa. Now he makes the following agreement to himself, and that is, I'm only going to save her if she did not commit navera, meaning that if she's in the house of prostitution and she behaves like a prostitute, I'm not going to save her. Only if she kept herself pristine, then and only then I'm going to save her. Okay.
But wasn't it honest? Like, wasn't she done again?
Okay, so right, I'm already anticipating questions. hold off on your questions, because I don't know the answer. You know, Yogi Berra said, I wish I'd answer that question because I'm tired of answering that question. I don't know. I don't know why that becomes.
No, but yeah. Perhaps he was actually saying, you know, if she's actually acting like you notice, meaning she does everything she can to avoid, that's one thing, you know.
Right.
But if she's just playing the part like everybody else, right, and she's not distinguishing herself,
all right, all right. Also, naka nafshe kechad kechad parsa. So what he does is he dresses up like a Roman. Amar la hashmi ali. So he goes and into the house of prostitution, and he sets himself up with her. And he solicits her. He petitions. So I'm related to Shasana Anna. So she says, "Nah, wrong time of month. I can't." So I'm Allah Misrachana Mirsach. So he says, "I'll wait." Amr Allah. She says back to him, "Nefishin Tuva Dishapirin Minai." There are a lot of other girls here, a lot prettier than me. Like, why don't you just move on? Amar. So, right, everyone understand Ramir's propositioning his sister-in-law. She's saying, no, it's an unbelievable story. So, Amr Shmaminalo Abdi Yisura. So he says, I get it. She doesn't know I'm Rabbi Meir. She doesn't know I'm a brother-in-law. And this is her standard response. So she has kept herself pristine. Called Asi Amr Lehachi. Anyone who comes to her, that's what she says. Azal Agabi Shamadida. Amr Lehavani Allah. So he goes to the guard of the brothel, and he says to the guard, okay, let her come out with me. So Amar Lay Mistafini Me Machusa. The guard says, are you out of your mind? I let her go. Are you crazy? I let her go, and you know they're going to come after me. Like, come on, you can't. No. Amar Lay Shkolta Kavadi Dinar. So he says to her, no, I'm sorry, he says to him, take the Tarkava de Dinar, here, take the gold. Palga Plach. So half of it will be a bribe, and the other half it's going to be for you. Okay, look, but paying a bribe, it's not a one-time bribe. You know, they're going to keep coming after me. You know, or I can't believe you let her out, and you're like, here, take the money. And I'm not going to have any more money, and they're going to keep coming after me. Amalei v'chisham me'aved. When I run out of money, what am I supposed to do then? Amalei, right? Famous line. Everyone knows it, but not everyone knows it in the right context. Amalei ema elaha demeir aneni. So here's what you say. You say, God of Rabbi Meir aneni, please answer me. Umitat selas, and you'll get saved.
Actually, saved in 46.
Now you know where it's from.
So the guard says to Reb Meir, "Are you sure? You sure that works?" everyone speaks money. Money works. That I know. But really, Allah the Meir Aneni, that's going to work. So Amalei Hashta Chaziz Havuhanu Kaved Havaka Achle Inche. Let's try this out. Reb Meir says to the guard, "You see those dogs over there?" Right, literally, they eat people. Right, they just they bite people. Shaka kala shada bahu kaas lemechle. So Reb Meir takes a piece of earth, a stone, throws it at the dogs, and the dogs start coming after them. Amar, and he says, "Allah the Meir aneni, God of Meir, please answer me." And shavkuha, and the dogs stop. It works. Miyavule lesof. Ishtame milsef be malka asua askula zikifa. Okay? In the end, word gets out, and the meaning the guard lets her out. Reb Meir takes his sister-in-law out of the brothel, saves his sister-in-law, but the guard now is caught, and I guess the bribes only lasted so long, and he's taken to the king. Asua askula zikifa. And they tie him up. Amar, and now as they tie him up and going to execute him, however they're going to execute him, he says, "Allah the Meir aneni." Okay, so he says the magic formula. Ach tua. Amar le mai hai. So they take him down. They said, "What are you saying?" What? Amar lo achi hava maisa. So he says, well, and he gives all the details of what happened with him and Rebbe Meir. So now they know, the Romans know, this is all Rebbe Meir. So asu chakaku ledemuse de Rebbe Meir apischa de Romi. So they put a wanted poster out with a picture of Rebbe Meir. Amru called the chazi lepirtsufa hadein leise. Anyone who sees his face should bring him here. Yumachad chazi was so, right? He was caught, he was seen. Rahat Abbasre, they run after him. Rahat Mikamayo Allah Bezonos. So now he runs away, and he runs into places where Rebbe Meir would never run into. And he does things that Rebbe Meir would never do, and then they say, you know, must be mistaken identity. Can't be that that's Rebbe Meir. So they, according to the first version of the Gemara, he goes into a house of prostitution. Come on, Rebbe Meir would not go into a house of prostitution. Must not be Rebbe Meir. Another version of how the story ended is that he took his finger, put it in non-kosher food, or bishule of the kochavim, could be food, whatever. Not, let's just say non-kosher food. Mm-hmm. Put his finger in, and then did the trick where he licked his other finger.
Right.
And again, he did it in a way which confused and convinced them that he was eating non-kosher, and they said, no, that's not Rebbe Meir. The third version has it that out comes Eliyahu like a woman, starts hugging Rebbe Meir. And that couldn't be Rebbe Meir. All right, three different versions of how it ended, but a common denominator. He behaved in a way that Rebbe Meir would not behave, and they said that must be not Rebbe Meir.
He didn't use his own formula, though.
He didn't want to.
Of all things.
Correct.
This
sister. Come, Arak, Asa. He runs to Bava. Iga de Arme, Mahai Maisa. Now, in other words, he extradites himself. He's on the lam. Now, some people say that it's because of what we just read about right now, meaning the story that we just read about him and his sister-in-law and his heroic measures to try to free her from the brothel, and the Romans now chasing him down and wanted posters about him. It's a wild story. It's an unbelievable story. And because of that, so according to one version, that's why the rest of his life he was exiled in Bavel. And the Igadarmi Mimaisa de Bruria, or some say it's a story with Bruria. Now, I pause for a moment before I tell the story, because it's a wild story and it's hard to process. It's difficult. It's a difficult story. Rashi here tells us a story about what happened with his wife Bruria. Shapam Achas. I'm reading Rashi. It's above where we are in the Gemara. Shapam achas liglaga al sha'amru chachamim nashim daitim kalasim. In other words, the Gemara in Kiddushin, it's a little bit sensitive. The Gemara says nashim daitim kalasim. Women have a light mind, right? A simple mind. That's the Gemara in Kiddushin, and she took offense to that, right? Understandably. So ailuhu va'amr la chayecha. Sofcha lahodos ledivrayim. So Rav Meir says to his wife, you know, one day you'll understand the Gemara. Okay. They must have had an interesting relationship. So one day you'll understand the Gemara. V'tsiva la'echa mitamidav linasosa. Okay, so please forgive me, because it's such a delicate story, and it's hard to process it. He tells one of his students, you know, try and seduce my wife. I'm sorry. And the student, as per the instruction of Rav Meir, tries to petition her, and for the most part, she's resistant. Achenes rasis, until she's not resistant. And then she hangs herself. The Arak Rabbi Meir Machmas Kisufan. Rabbi Meir was so embarrassed over what I do, and so Rabbi Meir ran and lived his life in exile in Bavel. Okay.
Yeah, where was this recorded? You know, she brings it down from her.
You know, it's so funny. As I was preparing the Gemara, I'm thinking to myself, where is the story? Now, the Gemara in Kiddushin, that just says Nashon died in Kalosin. The Gemara in Kiddushin brings down the whole story also? I didn't look it up.
I think you read before that she was supposed not to teach, and she teaches the students behind the Mechitza.
She was... Yes. There are a lot of Gemaras about Bruria. I'll tell you what, I could do a little research today and see where the Gemara tells the story. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, let's go a little bit further today. Tanu Rabbanan, ha'olech li'tzadion l'charkom v'rasham esa nechashem esa esa chabarim bukin umukin mulyin lulyin blurian salgurian harizem moshav leitzim. You go to stadiums and you go to karkums. Karkums, by the way, what's it called? When our troops are out at a war, what's that called when they have entertainment over there?
USO.
US, thank you. I was thinking about USOs. So that's basically what a charkum is. Right? Pretty much, yeah. Right? That's the way Rashi describes it. That's what it is. It's USOs. So, Harez and Moshe of Leitzim. Va'aleisim avalei makas of Omer. Ashrei isha shelo halach b'afsas. Rishayim uvederech. Uvederech rishayim lo... V'derech ha'taim, thank you. Derech ha'taim lo amad, uv'moshav leitzim lo yashav. Okay, first parak in Tehillah. Kiim b'tarz Hashem chavtzo, halamata shedvarim halam meviim asadam li'debito Torah. So you hang out over here, inherently, sounds like from the Gemara, inherently nothing's wrong with it, but it's bito Torah. It's just a terrible waste of time. Gemara has another braisa. It's a Tosefta that says, no, you should go to stadiums because you can call out and maybe even help somebody and save somebody's life. Now, these stadiums, these Roman stadiums, I've never been to one, never been to a gladiator fight, but people's lives are in jeopardy, and maybe you can somehow help over there. By being a spectator, it's hard to envision.
Have it, the maybe you can
save someone who's also a spectator from a bad way.
Maybe. Right? I'm not sure. Charkum is okay because of Yishuv Medina, Vavashal Yishashiv Imahem. Meaning you can be part of the entertainment on the battlefield, but or you can even be a spectator there, but you can't be counted as one of the army. And if you are counted as one of the army members, then it's going to be Aser. Kasha itzadyan itzadyan kasha karkum akarkum. Now, Bishlam akarkum akarkum lo kasha kam mischashiv imahem kam shein mischashiv imahem. Look. If you're just there as a member of the USO, if you're there as just relief, right, that's okay. If you're counted as one of the army members, then it's not okay. Then you can't participate. The Gemara brings down, this is a machlokas tanayim, whether or not you can go to a stadium and be engaged in this kind of frivolous entertainment. The Tanya. Tanakama says you cannot go.
It's Moshe of Leitzim. It's a room full of jokers and jesters, and you can't go. Rabbi Nassim Matir Mimnei Shnei Dvarim. Rabbi Nassim says it's okay. Two reasons why I think it's okay. Echam Mimnei Shetzavach Matzil, because number one, you possibly have the chance of saving someone's life. And also, someone's going to die, right? That's what happens at these Roman gladiator fights, and you'll be able to go back and testify that the husband died, and the woman can, and the wife can remarry. Okay. So for that reason,
it's a little.
Right. Correct. 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 Absolutely. Absolutely correct. Right, some, whatever, it was some sport, some sport.
Is it just some sport, or does it include other things too, like basketball?
Basketball, football, baseball. Rabbi Chanan ben Akash, I'm going to start with Baruch Hu, Zafis, Yisrael, Chicha, Kirvim, Latar, Mitzvah, Shemar, Chafetz, Amansi, Koyak, Dutra, Rabbi Yadid.